Hi guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Grow As You Go podcast. This is your host, Michaela Deal. As a girl in her 20s, I know exactly what it's like to be feeling lost, confused, a little bit like you have so much to figure out still, because you probably do, but I'm just here to reassure you that that's totally normal. And whatever stage of life that you're in, if you're feeling any type of way, I'm always here to remind you that you are not alone in that, and just ultimately be someone that you can look at as a friend. Health and wellness, fitness, dating, life, advice, self-help, all the things, anything at all that I am noticing in my life that is coming up and can maybe help someone else, we always will go deeper into. If there's ever anything you guys want to hear more of, please comment, read the podcast, and let me know how much you enjoy it. I love you. If you're ready to grow with me, let's get into today's episode. New episodes are every Monday at 5 a.m. Guys, I get so many questions about dental hygiene school and all the things kind of leading up to it and how I chose my career and everything. So I figured today we would get into that, kind of what brought me to my current spot today, what I thought I wanted to go to college for, and kind of like my journey through like getting to where I am at with my current job and all the transitional processes that has kind of come along with dental hygiene. And I had two main questions that like I jotted down that people wanted to know the answers to. So what we'll be kind of focusing on is how I chose my career path in college, and then also how I made it through school and studying, because I know a lot of people are in that boat where you might be in dental hygiene school, you might be considering it. And even if you're not, kind of like any tips that I have, like when it comes to studying or what has worked best for me, I can hopefully help you out with in this episode. So I have no idea what got me into wanting to be a dental hygienist. I'm going to be honest with you. People always ask me like, was there anyone in your family that you saw do it and then you wanted to do it? And I was like, no, like I was young. I don't remember exactly how old, but I knew when I was in like 9th or 10th grade, maybe even 8th grade. I don't know when I had this little like moment when everything just clicked for me, but I remember saying, I'm gonna be a dental hygienist. Like, I'm just gonna do that. And like, that's it. I didn't do any research. I didn't really have a rhyme or a reason, but I was extremely stuck on that. Like, I knew I was going to do it and you weren't gonna tell me otherwise. I knew I was going to school for that. And knowing that, I didn't look into any other occupations at all. And I grew up in a very small town called Tyrone, Pennsylvania, and there's like 100 and some people in my graduating class. So very small school. Also, my family, like just to give a little bit of background on like my upbringing, my dad has some college. My mom had some college and he became a corrections officer, and my mom never worked a day in my life. And that's something I honestly like wasn't expecting to just drop on you guys. But I just wanted to give a little bit of background on that because it does kind of give you maybe my education, my upbringing. If my parents didn't go to college and like that's kind of where they were at, they weren't necessarily like, and this isn't talking badly about them or anything, it's just the truth. They weren't really helping me explore career options or anything like that. I was kind of just coming up with things on my own. So I don't know. And I honestly am the first person, my sister went to dental assisting school. My brother graduated from college and I also graduated from college. But like that was kind of a big deal for me to do because a lot of people in my family like haven't done that. So I don't really know what got me to pick dental hygiene. I really kind of feel like it was God. Like I think God knew that I had a calling in this, and he wanted to put it on my heart to just set out and do it. So that's exactly what I did. So I knew, I told everyone like that's what I'm doing. And I actually didn't know, I'm gonna be honest, I always knew I wanted to be a dental hygienist, but I ended up switching it to dentist because I'm gonna be honest, it's really stupid, but because of the way that saying I was going to be a dental hygienist was perceived, only because I would have to go to a technical school for that. And the town that I grew up in, it was extremely like pushed on you that college is like going to a university and like doing all that. And I did want to have like a normal college experience where it was a little bit of a bigger university and I could actually, I don't know, go out and have fun, like make friends, like all that stuff, which I still could do at a tech school, but not necessarily as much. And I don't know. So I ended up changing my mind to dentist, and it wasn't even necessarily because I wanted to do that. Like I think I did in that moment, I thought that I did, but there was like no thought behind it. It was more so I'm just telling people I want to be a dentist, and I was running with that. And I think I really just like telling people that I wanted to be a dentist, not actually the fact, like I liked the reaction. It was always like really impressed. You know what I mean? And I think I was just like, oh yeah, I'm going to be a dentist. And at the time I really thought that I was going to, but I think as I grew up and like kind of matured a little bit, like after I was in school, I realized like, you don't actually want this. Like, do you really want to go to school for 8 years? Like, you don't even like being in school. Like, you don't necessarily love sitting here and having to study all the time. Like, it's a full-time job to, like, do that and learn all the time. And I love learning, but putting it in a setting where you have to, like, get good grades and stuff, like, for me, I don't necessarily love that. It's a lot of pressure. So whenever I realized, I was like, you do not want to go to school for 8 years, and you definitely don't want all the responsibility that comes with being a dentist. Like, I really don't think this is your dream, babe. I think this is just you wanting to impress other people. And that's kind of where I was with it. And I was like, I'm transferring. It was a very spur of the moment, last minute decision. But before I ended up transferring, my first step was going to Indiana University of Pennsylvania. That's where I went to school for 1 year for undergrad. And that was whenever I thought I was pre-dental at that point to go to be a dentist. And I had a bunch of like chemistry, biology, and like that is what undergrad to be a dentist is. Like, you're becoming a doctor, you know? So just in general, I was like, no, like I know, like, and I got good grades and like I put my best foot forward, but I just don't care to kill myself in science classes. Like, I like science a lot, but I did not want to have to get through organic chem 1 and 2, biochem 1 and 2, and all of that really started to just sink in, like the reality of it. And I was like, I can't do this. So I wanted to go to IUP mainly because honestly, my best friend went there. My other best friend at the time was going there as well. And not a smart decision. I wouldn't just make a decision that's going to affect the rest of your life and, you know, debt and your whole, you know, well-being based off of your friends going to a school. If it's going to affect your actual career plan, like if you and your friends want to go to the same school and it makes sense for you guys, like I love that for you. But for me, I really belonged at a tech school to do dental hygiene, and it would have really benefited my life to do that. But everything happens for a reason. I don't regret any of it. But once I was at IUP, like I thought I was going to have like, I really cared about partying back in the day. Like I really cared about going out and drinking. And that was like a part of my personality. And once I was in school, like I'm not somebody who takes school lightly. Like I'm always going to like be studying and making sure I get good grades. So I did that, and I wasn't doing too much even at the school that I intended to like go out and drink and all this stuff. So it just started to sink in again where I was like, I don't really think this is what I want to do. So I ended up transferring very last minute. Like I actually, it was spring semester of my freshman year of college. And it was like, I don't even know, March or April. And I decided I was going to transfer. I applied to Penn Tech, Pennsylvania College of Technology in Williamsport, which is like 3.5 hours away from where I was going to school at the time. So just to give you an idea of that, it was farther away, but it was closer to my home. And so at the time where I grew up, IUP was 1.5 hours away, and also Penn Tech was 1.5 hours away, the opposite way. So I ended up basically, you know what I mean? For me to basically get to the school that I used to go to, it would be 3.5 hours, but it ended up being a good fit for me to transfer because I came home a lot. I worked on the weekends and all of that. It was nice for me to be able to come home. But I know I'm bopping around a little bit, so I'm sorry if this is kind of hard to follow. But I ended up transferring, and because I got accepted into the program. And once I knew I got accepted, I already like had like plans for my fall semester of where I was going to be living at. Like I had to get out of a lease. It was a whole thing. But I was like, I don't care. Like I'm making this decision for myself. Like this is what I must be doing for me at the moment. And like, I'm glad that I had that realization when I did. It was a little late, but at the same time, it all worked out. It was clearly meant to. But what I thought was so weird about the whole thing though, even that I meant to mention earlier, is that I didn't do any research on colleges. I didn't do any research on occupations. My high school did not talk about like career exploration. Like maybe they did, but I definitely wasn't, I don't know where I was when that was happening, to be honest. I don't know if like, yeah, I would go to job fairs, but like I didn't understand the reality of it. It wasn't real to me. It didn't matter. Like high school at the time really mattered to me. And so my plan outside of high school, which I was excited to graduate and everything, but for me, I was just like, oh yeah, like whatever. And I would go to job fairs more so to like fill up my bags with like a bunch of cool stuff, as we all do, and just kind of like be a kid. But yeah, and I think my heart was already knew I was going to be a dental hygienist. I didn't even look at anything else. And I'm happy that this happened. I'm happy I'm a hygienist for sure. And I really do like the career. But so it all worked out. But it's like, what are the odds of that? But also there's parts of the occupation today for me where I do want to do other things and I need more than what the career can give me. And it is very physically demanding. It's very mentally demanding. But I have been a hygienist for 5 years, which is so crazy to say, the fact that I've been a hygienist for 5 years. It'll be 5 years in June, but it's pretty much 5 years at this point. It's April. But it's crazy, but like I do know so much, but it's really, really wild also because in this whole journey of like my dental hygiene and like my jobs and stuff, which I will run you guys through, it's just wild because I have been a temp since 2022, I think. I don't remember when I started. I think it was 2022. So I've been temping for 2 years and that's crazy. And before that, I had a few jobs out of school that just weren't it. Like, don't be afraid if you start as a dental hygienist and you start working in the field. And if you take a job and you actually end up not liking it, like I highly, highly, highly recommend that you quit. Like if it's not a good fit for you, like obviously give it at least a month, but you'll know pretty quickly if it's somewhere that you want to be or if it isn't. And for me, I worked at one office and I'll give you a little rundown of my job history. Then we'll jump back into like college and stuff a little bit more. My brain is literally a squirrel. Like I didn't make notes for this or anything. I figured it would just be easiest for me to just like talk to you guys. So this is the way that my brain works. So we're going to do this and then we'll bop back to that. But my first job was an office that had like a bunch of different offices and like it was like corporate and it was a place in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And that's where I started working after school. And again, we'll bop back to Penn Tech. I'll tell you about the dental hygiene program and I'll tell you about like school tips and stuff. But this I just figured is kind of interesting and I kind of already got into it. So first job was at a corporate office and it just wasn't somewhere that one, I really saw myself meshing with the people that worked there very well at the time. Like the people that worked there were fine, but like they were a lot older than me. And that's fine if they are, but like I just didn't. There was something about that office that just wasn't meshing. I was just also a fresh grad and I was doing my best and I was learning everything there, but I just wasn't happy. And I also wasn't super in love with the job pretty quickly, like my career, to be honest, at least just doing that and working really long hours. I just felt really unfulfilled, to be honest with you. But I ended up quitting that job after a month just because it was the way that they were doing things, it was all about production. And there wasn't anything necessarily wrong, but I feel like the office manager at this office, from what I remember, she was kind of like a wild bird, like a little all over the place. That's me being nice. I'm giving like a nice term to it. But, you know, a little bit like out there and always was talking politics and stuff. And I like just weird kind of conspiracy theories. And the vibes in there were just a little strange. I don't know. I didn't feel like I belonged there. So I ended up quitting after a month. Because I wanted, or at least at this time, I was like, okay, I don't want to work corporate. I want to work at an office that's a private practice because private practices care about you more. That can be true, but it doesn't always mean that it's true. But that was something that like even coming out of hygiene school, everybody was like, you want to work in a private practice. You want to work in a private practice. And corporate offices, like there's nothing wrong with them. It's just like a chain. So it may be a little less personal. It may be a lot more production. It might be just really strict protocols, you know what I mean, that are a little bit out there sometimes. But my second job, I got a private practice job and I shouldn't have taken this job at this man because he was extremely unprofessional even before I took it. But I was, again, naive, fresh out of school, didn't quite understand anything yet. And so he was like talking badly about the girl that I was replacing and saying how she always calls off work and he's like talking bad about her. And I'm just kind of like, whatever. But he said that he fired her through a text is what he told me, which again, unprofessional. But I remembered that little piece of information and it's going to remember that because it's going to come back to bite him in the ass. But so he said that to me about firing her. And I was kind of like, oh, okay. And so I went and had an interview with this man and he was just like, yeah, like if you, like, I would like for you to like start like really, really soon or whatever. So I ended up quitting. I think I gave 2 weeks at my previous job. But I think they were like, you can just be done like tomorrow or I don't remember how that went. But regardless, I went to the private practice and I started working there. And he was crazy. This man was literally Mighty Mouse. He was basically like a man that really thought that he was going to like be disrespectful a lot, and that you were just going to put up with it. Like he would randomly come into my room and during exams, he would like throw the instruments around. Like he was weird. He had a short temper. I didn't feel safe with this man. Like he did not give any type of vibe that I want to continue working at this office, but that wasn't the only reason. Obviously there was that. He was really weird. Even if I had like Profi paste, if I had like a wrapper of like a Profi angle or there was like a small piece of anything on the floor, he would come in randomly and pick it up off my floor, or he would bring his wife in to do it because his wife was his front desk. And just really weird vibes. Really weird vibes. But the main reason that I wanted to not work there anymore was because he was not diagnosing gum disease properly, and that is the most unethical thing that you can possibly do. So I recognized this, and I even saw that his previous hygienist was like, SRP is needed, and he was like, let's reevaluate in 3 months, and kept doing that. And you can see on the x-rays that there is calc under the gums, which is bacteria under the gums, meaning we aren't going to get that unless we do certain types of cleanings to get down there and do it. And he didn't want me to remove it. He made it a point to tell me he did not want me to remove it. And he, this is his words that he said to me verbatim, that if you, he was like, if you do that, and he's like, go under there and remove the bacteria, they're going to be in pain and they're not going to want to come back. Meaning he cares more about his clientele, not the actual health and well-being of his patients. So to me, I knew what was happening, but after I had that conversation with him, I wanted to have that one last convo before I left. And I said, I just want to make sure that I'm understanding properly, like that I'm understanding where you're coming from. I was like, you're asking me to not scale below the gum line. That is what we're taught to do in school if needed. You have to. And like a regular prophy is mainly above the gums. And if it isn't more, you have to do a different type of cleaning. And he was like, no. He's like, no. He's like, I know they teach you whatever they teach you in school, but if we do that, they're not coming back. And I immediately already had my things packed. Like I knew I was dipping out, and I didn't feel safe to quit to this man's face. I did not feel safe to have a conversation with him in that way. I already told you this man through instruments, like he wasn't giving safe vibes. I didn't like the vibes. So as he decided to fire his last hygienist through a text, I decided I'm going to quit through a text. I wouldn't recommend doing that, but if you don't feel safe, that was my biggest reason for doing that. But also I'm like, this man, like, I'm not even going to feel bad about it because he fired somebody through a text. So, and I remember I sent it to him. He's like, very unprofessional. And I'm like, oh, I'm a professional, brother. Okay. So whatever. I ended up working at the corporate office for 1 month. Then I ended up working at this office for 1 month. Both of them weren't good offices to work at. So what I cannot stress enough to you, do not, as a recent fresh grad, take a job without working interview. 1 day is not enough of a working interview. You need to do a working interview for 1 week, I think, personally. A 1 week interview, see if it's a good fit, see if you like the vibes of the people there. People can put on a facade whenever you are there for a day, 2 days. You'll start to see things. You'll start to overhear conversations. You'll start to see how dentist treats the patients and the dentist treats the employees and how the dentist treats you. And do they want your opinion, or do they think that you're just a fly on the wall that's going to be there and like basically just accent the room and not actually like want any type of advice or your professional opinion on your knowledge of things happening in the patient's mouth, even though you spent 45 minutes with that patient. So that's my tip for you. If you're a fresh grad or you are in school and you're going to be graduating, definitely do a working interview for at least a few days and to determine if it's a good fit for you or not, because you never know. You really don't. And even as a temp, I see things pretty quickly. Very quick. That's why I would recommend temping also, which we'll get into. But to finish my job history, LOL. So those were my first two jobs. And then after those two jobs, I was like, you know what? I am not getting another job and then having to quit again. Like, I don't want to quit. I don't like having to quit jobs. So I'm going to temp. So I started temping in Pittsburgh for 2 months. And in those 2 months, I enjoyed temping. I thought it is more money, one. But I worked through a temping agency, which I don't remember. I think it was 32 concepts. Just an FYI, if you're in the Pittsburgh area, I think I temped through 32 concepts and I had a good experience with that. But I ended up finding a job because I was still kind of looking for a job while I was temping because I wasn't sure if I wanted to stay temping there. And I ended up finding a job, which was the job that I worked at for the longest time. And I would have stayed there, and that's where I met a lot of my friends. If I wouldn't have moved to Texas. And that place was really, really good. I worked for a husband and a wife that were dentists, and they were up to date with the times, modern office, a lot of cool opportunities. I worked in downtown Pittsburgh, like in the BNY Mellon building. And that was really cool. I really liked that. And I loved the whole vibe of like being able to walk downtown to work every day. It was a vibe. The whole thing was really cool. And the patients were nice, and the dentists were, they were, one, open to teaching me things, which I really enjoyed because obviously I was a fresh grad. And I didn't have a lot of job experience at the time. I just had the one. And then I was very honest about like my job experience to her. And the thing, I didn't have him like on my resume because like I didn't care for him to be contacted or anything like that. But I told her, I was like, transparently, I said I did end up working for an office that like threw instruments, and like I told her the situation. And like from being honest and upfront about that, she understood that we ethically are on the same page and she wanted the same things as well. Like she does want gum disease to be treated. And you know, it was a good learning experience for me. And I really learned a lot from them and I really enjoyed it there. There was someone that I worked with at that office that made that job pretty annoying for most people in that office. But I met I'm telling you, dental offices, man, it's really hard to find an office where like you love every person in there. Like the front desk might be the biggest pain in your left rear. Okay. Might try to micromanage you. Okay. Or I'm not talking badly about front desks. I love front desk. Okay. And most of them are awesome, but a lot of times some of them aren't. So like really finding an office that you feel like you are respected by everyone and you can just show up to work and be happy there is so, so important, because where you're at work every single day, that's your life. Like the people that you spend your every single day with, even though you can like separate from like if someone's annoying at work, the more that you have to go to work and have an issue with someone at work, that's really going to cause some problems. Okay. I met a lot of my friends there, Lauren, Hannah, Mindy, they were my people and I love them so much. And every time I go home, I try to make time to see them and stuff still, but it made it really hard to move because I knew I really, really liked spending time with them and hanging out with them. And I was afraid to leave because I knew I actually finally found a job that I liked and I wasn't sure if I would find one that I liked again. So once I knew I was moving, I started applying to jobs in Austin before I moved, and I had a couple interviews. I ended up going with an office. The office was extremely modern, up to date, crazy work environment though. The most insane work environment I have ever worked in my entire life. And that's saying something. You want to know why? Because I'm a temp and I've temped for 2 years. Okay. So the amount of offices I've been in, hundreds. Okay. And for me to say that this office is the most wackadoodle, it's really saying something. So, but yeah, I'm not going to get a whole lot into that, but there can be people in offices, maybe they're related to the dentist, maybe they are just other people that work there that can come in and just kind of set fire to the rain. Okay. That is what it felt like when they would come into the office and just pick fights with people and try to like blame and stir the pot, cause drama. The last thing that you want from a work environment is drama. Like that's the absolute last thing that you're looking for. And I already know that. So that is all I really got out of that job. Or I learned a lot at that job. I'm going to be honest with you. I did learn a lot and I learned a bunch of different softwares in like my career and everything from like working at different places. And that's like the most beneficial thing ever is knowing different softwares and stuff. I think it really can come in handy and it just de-stresses everything for you, especially if you ever end up temping. Once you temp a lot, you'll know all the softwares and it makes temping very low stress. But that office was very modern. They had really good work protocols and everything. However, and like I met a lot of my friends in that job, but there's definitely not, it was like the most toxic work environment I've ever seen. And it was mainly the higher ups for sure that caused issues in that. And it did not make me ever want to be there. I did not want to go to work. Like I did not want to be there anymore. And I tried to reason with them about a couple of things. Like I needed one day off. They couldn't give that to me. But like as a hygienist, you can basically find a job that will give you the work schedule that you're looking for. So I was like, whatever, like I'm really good at my job. And I genuinely like, and that's just a fact. I don't need to be here. Like if this is already affecting my life in this way and stressing me out and you guys aren't even able to accommodate me with one day off a week, like, okay. So I already knew that I had an office that I was considering that was going to give me one day off and I would be making more money. So I was like, it's a no-brainer. I'm out of here. So that's what I ended up doing. I ended up going to a different job. So I worked at so after I moved from Austin, I worked at this office for 6 months. And then because of the toxic work environment, that is genuinely why I left. I was great at my job there. I was their highest producing hygienist, like, because they did production. Like I was up there and I was doing really well. And I was making a lot of money working there because of the production and like the good hourly rate and stuff. So, but that says something. If I'm going to leave in that situation, it's for a reason. So I got another job where I was working less. It could give me a better work-life balance and I was making more money. And I liked that job enough, but at the same time, And the dentist didn't want to hear a peep out of me, basically. Like, I worked there for 6 months and we had no relationship at all. Like, we didn't speak. It was a very weird vibe in this office too, but in a different way. And she didn't She was very nice, but like we had no relationship and I work with her all day long and we don't have anything. So it's kind of weird. You know what I mean? To work with someone who you work with constantly that doesn't even know you and you don't like, doesn't care to even form a connection with you at all. So, and doesn't care to hear your professional opinion. That was like the biggest slap for me. I'm like, I am here like helping you. And most dentists, especially from dentists that I worked for in Pittsburgh, like people want to hear your take because I am in a patient's mouth for 45 minutes and they're there for maybe five, you know? So for her, for me to give her the rundown, because most dentists would want you to be like, hey, this is Claire. Her upper right tooth is hurting her. That's her biggest concern today. We took x-rays. We updated her gums. Everything looks pretty good. There's just a little bit of inflammation. We went over home care. She's interested in whitening or a night guard, something like that. A lot of dentists would prefer you to do. Okay. And I don't care if you don't want me to do all that, but if I even said anything to her, it was in one ear and out the other. And someone's calling me. Hold on. It was my reservation for my friend's birthday tomorrow that I made. I don't understand why my ringtone's on at the moment, to be honest, but everything was in one ear and out the other. Like I would tell her all that and she would go, okay, so how are you doing? What's going on in your mouth? And it would just restart it. Like she would just waste so much time because I just answered all those questions for her. And yeah, you can shoot the shit with the patients. Like that's exactly what a lot of dentists will do. And that's what they should do. But she would ask them all the questions that I just gave her the answers for. And it was like extremely disrespectful in my opinion. And very like, why am I here? I'm really confused on why, like I work for you and you don't want to hear anything from me. Also the assistant there was just ridiculous. There was someone I worked with that like would yell at me about the dumbest things. And that was just the way that she was. Like she was like that with everybody that worked there. So the other hygienist and me are still friends today. And she now temps as well, but she was like, I'm getting out of here too. Cause she was pregnant at the time. So once she was pregnant, she didn't end up going back. And then after like she was done, I left like shortly after that. I was like, I can't do this. So I started temping then. So that was in 2022. So that's my job history, just to give you guys a little bit of a rundown and just so you know where I'm at today. But now I temp through Cloud Dentistry and I love Cloud Dentistry so much. Like it's through an app and I don't know if it's offered everywhere, to be honest with you, but I know in Texas it is. And it's nice because you just set your rate, you set up your profile, and then you just start getting requested from offices. And then you start building up your portfolio in a way there. The more offices that you book, you get a score. And so doing this for 5 years, I have 5-star rating and it shows all the bookings, like the amount of hours I've worked, which is crazy. But temping's cool because you can do temping on top of like a job that you like work through. And I need to do an entire episode on temping. Like I really do. So I'll make an episode on that, but it's cool because you can temp whether you are like working somewhere and you just want to work an extra day of the week, or you can just temp fully and set your hours and stuff. So that's what I do now. I temp and I work 2 days a week currently because I do other things like on the other days. So I'm always working Monday through Friday, but it's just on different types of jobs and stuff. But you set your rate and then you can, if you see a booking option, you can request to work it, but also like you will get requested from offices too. And then you just want to accept it as quick as possible. So I will do an episode on temping though, as soon as possible, because I know you guys definitely would want that. I should have done that today. That would have been a really easy episode, but basically that is my job history. That is my situation. I really enjoy temping now. And I feel like I get so much more out of my job. It keeps it more interesting because dental hygiene is extremely repetitive. And I just feel like it gives me a breath of fresh air a little bit instead of having to like work 5 days a week. Like I work one day and then I have a day in between and then I work again because I can't. I just don't. I could do days back to back, but like I'm just better if I have a day in between because to me, I love dental hygiene, but dental hygiene isn't my life. And I love that it does provide for me, but I don't want it to be the only thing that I have, if that makes sense. It's really bad on you physically. It's really bad on you mentally at times, and it's draining, but it is extremely rewarding. And it is something that I do really, really like at the same time, but my relationship with it has changed a lot over the years. So I definitely wouldn't regret going to school for it or anything, but sidetracking, so, so sorry that I got into my job history instead of getting into like Penn Tech and like going to school there. But I ended up going to dental hygiene school and it took 1 year for me to get the classes that I needed as a transfer. So I had to take like anatomies that I didn't have, anatomy 1 and 2. I had to take micro. I had to take public freaking speaking. Like, ooh, ugh, ugh. I did not like that. I wish I was someone who really enjoyed that type of thing, but it just makes me nervous. So I had to do all of that. So it took me 1 year, and I honestly put my head down and just studied so hard those, like, that 1 year, because I wanted to get the best grades possible to get into the dental hygiene program, because it's based on your math and science GPA. So I got accepted after the 1 year, and then I started dental hygiene school, and I had 2 years in the program. So each semester you're doing different things. Obviously the first semester you are just learning a lot. And then I don't remember what clinic was like. I think first semester in clinic, you were just working on other dental hygiene students, like learning the instruments. And then second semester, you get in there and I think you have patients, but you only have a very small amount. And then third semester, you have more. And then last semester, you have more. And you're finding your board's patient and stuff. But so many things I learned in dental hygiene school. And I will tell you, like, it definitely made me a good hygienist. Like, I know a lot, you know, but there are definitely certain things I feel like I could have known more about. But honestly, that's what the real world will do to you. Like, you will learn a lot in the real world that you didn't learn in school, for sure. In terms of, like, software and, like, patient management and, like, all that stuff. Because in dental hygiene school, the way that it works, you see, whenever you see patients, you don't just see somebody. Like, in the real world, you see one patient in an hour. In dental hygiene school, you see one patient for, like, 9 hours. Which is sounds insane, I know. But you see, let's say you come in and you're my patient. For the first appointment, we have like certain, there's like an order of everything that had to be done. We had to take x-rays. We had to do this. We had to do that. And all these things and the way that they make it out, they don't explain things the right way. I just wish that they would have taken us through like a day in the life of a hygienist. Like, even just in college, like showing us kind of real world what you can expect. But honestly, that is why I would recommend shadowing if this is something that you're considering, because you'll get so much out of like shadowing and seeing what's out there as opposed to like getting in school and then like having to piece it together. But every single thing that you do in dental hygiene school must be checked by an instructor, and you have one instructor per 4 girls. So you always have to be turning your light on, and then it's a lot of waiting until she gets in there to check you and like your patients and stuff before you can move forward, because every single thing is being graded in clinic. You know what I'm saying? So it was a whole thing, dude. I cannot even tell you how ridiculous it was for me whenever I was learning probing for the first time. I remember, because like people would go around if like their patient didn't show up or something that day for clinic, and they would like periochart for you and stuff. And there was a girl that failed out her class and like was retaking it. And so it was her second time doing everything, and which is fine, but like it's just kind of, it's a little funny to like think about this. So I'm learning this for the first time and she's periocharting for me. And I remember her making fun of me, basically telling me that I was going so slow, which I remember I was really slow at it, because I really thought like every single thing like had to be graded and had to be perfect. But she was making fun of me. I'm like, girl, this is your second time in here. Like, get off my back. So that was kind of funny for sure. I remember like being so like kind of like hurt by that. I'm like, that's like really mean of you to be like making fun of me. But at the now looking back at it, I'm like, this girl is doing it twice. Like, one, her opinion doesn't matter, and like, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, she clearly was in here before you and had to do this one full year and then dropped out. We are not the same. But when it comes to your perio charting and stuff though, I highly, highly, highly recommend, like, in school it's a little bit more strict, but like in the real world, like, you don't actually have to be like taking your time and get every single one completely perfect and wasting your time in that way. Like, most of it, like whenever I am going through, it's mostly 3-2-3 in the back teeth, and then in the front teeth it's 2-1-2. And as I'm going, if I see a 4 or a 5 or a 6 or a 7 or an 8 high numbers, I will stop and put them in. But for the most part, everything's like normal. You know what I'm saying? In the real world, no one's checking you, no one cares, and you are able to be off like by 1 or 2, because everyone does have like, it depends on who's periocharting you, what your numbers are going to be a little bit. But for the most part, it's only off by 1. If someone says that you have a 6, it's really only going to be a 5 or a 7. If it's, you know, like you're given that room of error if something's off. But in school, I don't remember. I think you were given 1 or 2 off as well. But I think they just made school such a scary thing that I was afraid that I was going to like lose a lot of points from periocharting. But I think that I just had a lot of anxiety around certain things, because my first eval in dental hygiene school, I failed. And it wasn't because I actually failed it. It's because I was framed for cheating on it, and I didn't cheat on it. And that's a whole story in itself. But like, I was there in clinic and I was doing vitals, and my op is directly in front of the instructor's thing, because alphabetical order, D is pretty up there. Okay, so I was the 4th one, and they could see everything. And my freaking advisor, it was actually the one that got me and did this. So she failed me, and then I had to see her like once a semester or twice a semester in her office about certain things anyway. So like kind of an awkward way to start dental school. And I was kind of like, why am I here? Like if I'm failing my first EVO, I feel like that's kind of a red flag. And to clarify, I did not cheat, but because everybody else had no idea what to expect for the first EVO, which was vitals, I looked around because I'm like, what are we supposed to be doing right now? And my friend Casey was like, I don't know. And I was like, yeah, me either. Until like they got over there. I'm like, are we allowed to talk at all? Like no one really gave like a decent expectation for what we, like what we were supposed to be doing. And again, it's our first eval. Okay. So we had nothing to go off of. And so I'm looking around and everyone's just kind of like going through the motions, not actually doing it, not actually touching, but like going through the motions. Like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And kind of like acting like they're doing things just to like go over their steps. So I just started doing the same thing. And I did not touch her arm. I didn't do anything of the sort. My hand, like I was kind of like above like where I would be like on her arm for like feeling the brachial artery. But I did not touch her arm and like actually get her pulse and know where it's at or anything of that nature. I was just going through the motions like everybody else. But because I was directly in front of the instructor's op, here she comes marching my way. Hey, Michaela, come with me. And I'm like, oh God, here we go. And I go to the back and she's like, yeah. And she's like, so I'm sorry. She was like, not to get you down. She was like, but she's like, you cannot take your eval. And she was like, you've failed due to academic dishonesty. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, literally, what are you talking about? And she was like, I just saw you. I watched you. And I'm like, I didn't do anything. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. She was like, I just saw you. You touched her brachial artery. And I said, no, I didn't at all. And she was like, well, and she's like, I saw that. And she basically framed me and tried to make me, I was like, I looked around, everyone's doing that. Either way, I didn't touch her brachial artery. I will die on that grave. Okay. And there was like a funny video back around that time. And it was everybody raise your hand if you felt personally victimized by blank blank, which was her name. Because that was like so mean to do that to me on my first eval. And then after she was like, don't let it get you down. Don't let it get you down. And like, obviously her and I did get over that. She was my advisor for literally the 2 years, but that was extremely scarring for me in dental hygiene school. And the amount of like insanity that goes into those instructors, some of them is wild. Like, it's not that serious, guys. Quit acting like there's a gun to our head while we're in hygiene. Like, that's how some of them act. It's like, this isn't that serious. Like being graduated and being out in the workforce and like seeing how things are, they really put so much pressure. So like, I just want to be a reminder, if you're in hygiene school, relax, take a deep breath, and know it's not that serious. Like, do what you got to do. But if something happens that's a little scarring to you in hygiene school, just know it's a part of the process, unfortunately. Like, do not forget the lead apron in hygiene school. I unfortunately have done that once or maybe twice. I don't remember, but I remember that you'll fail something. Okay. I just feel like they're always ready to get you failing. Okay. So just like watch your back is my advice. But I'm sorry, I didn't expect to get into all of this as much as I did. I kind of went on a tangent, but I wanted to talk about that. So we talked about like how I chose my career and everything like that, but getting into how I made it through school and studying, I would say it really comes down to actually putting time into study. Like if I have a test and I know I have a test, I am going over the study guide. I'm making sure that I understand things. And then I honestly made so many flashcards like that. Me and flashcards, the handshake emoji. Okay. That was me in college. I made excessive amounts of flashcards, more than I probably should have. But that was what worked for me. So I made flashcards on everything constantly. And that was the best way for me to retain it and actually have it in my head for like test, multiple choice test and stuff. So out of the questions on the study guide, like I would make flashcards out of that. You know what I mean? Definitions. Obviously, you know how to make a flashcard. But that is what I would do. And it worked. Like it definitely worked. I was able to retain things for sure. But that was the main way that I studied. I wasn't someone that ever really got anything out of lectures. I would sit in lectures, but I never really thought I was getting anything out of it, to be honest with you. Like I would listen and I would understand, and depending on who was teaching the class, I would listen and actually comprehend things better. But I had some instructors that would just read off the slides and it's like, what am I doing here? Like this is worthless to me. Like there's no point. I can teach this to myself at home. And that is kind of what I ended up doing. I felt like I ended up teaching myself a lot of things, but obviously in clinic you learn a lot and like you have evals working on the other students and all that stuff. But yeah, that's honestly what I did. Like that was what worked best for me. But like, if you're someone who sits in lecture and doesn't retain things, like just know that's okay. Like you're allowed to feel that way. And you're totally normal. I know some people are like really good at like being engaged and comprehending that way, but everybody learns differently. You might learn better just from teaching yourself at home. You might learn better from visual aids and like watching other videos and like learning hands-on, like clinic, like all that stuff. There's so many different ways, you know? But how I made it through school was honestly just kind of putting my head down and knowing that like at some point I'm gonna be graduating and knowing I need to know all this stuff for my job. So I would just focus on the, well, however many classes I had that semester and just doing what I could that week and knowing what I had to get done. By the grace of God, to be honest, like, I don't know. Cause like, I feel like today, like I could do it and everything, but I just, the mindset that I have now, like I wouldn't want to do that again. Like I would not want to be in school learning something again. And I don't mean, I feel like I would be, like I take courses a lot, so I really do enjoy learning. But what I mean more is actually being in school with instructors, sitting in hours of classes, like to not retain much. You know what I mean? Mandatory things that you must do in order to be graded heavily. Like I just like being able to like learn things and like feel like I'm really actually getting things out of stuff and also learning about different things outside of dental hygiene now that I know stuff about dental hygiene. It's okay if you graduate and realize that you want to do something else also. I want you to know that. And I'm going to do an episode on that too. I'm writing these down because these are good ideas. But for me, like I am interested in being a personal trainer and like working in fitness in some way. And I'm still figuring all of that out, but like I have a plan for like what I want to do with that. And like having my own business and like being an entrepreneur. Like I have so many like different mindsets that are like outside of just my 9-to-5. I love my 9-to-5. I really do love dental hygiene. So I don't want to get that twisted. I really do have a love for it. There are just certain things about it that make it too repetitive for me to want to do every day, every week, all the time, forever. But if you are currently in school, like just know you might love it. Like don't take what I'm saying and act and like assume that that's how you're gonna be. A lot of people do end up getting to a point of burnout, I will tell you, in dental hygiene or needing to do something else or kind of like transitioning out of clinical dental hygiene. But you might be someone who loves it. Like there's some hygienists that have done this for years and like they just, that's, they're on fire for it, you know? It really depends on the person. And it really depends on your situation, your mindset, your goals, what you're comfortable with, what you're happy with. You know what I mean? If you have a little dream inside of you that is something else, like that's your purpose to fulfill. Like that is your right to want to fulfill it. Don't feel bad about maybe taking a step back after you're already out of school. Like I want you to know that. And I want you to feel really safe in that, that it's a normal thing to do. You just because people back in the day worked the same job for 30, 40, 50 years and accepted that doesn't mean that that has to be your story. Like, you know how many people are entrepreneurs today? Do you know how many people do other things? Like, if you have a dream inside of you, I want you to pursue it. And even if you are in dental hygiene school and you have other aspirations, I urge you to still put time into those because you never know what you could eventually want to do. And the sooner that you start kind of just playing with things or like experimenting with your interest and kind of understanding where you want things to go, the better. Cause like, you'll just know, like allow yourself to be curious and allow yourself to be creative. Maybe you like to paint. Maybe you like to sing. Maybe you want to do, like, you can do these things outside of your 9-to-5. And I want you to try to find ways to do that because I think that is how you're going to stay happy. And that's how you're going to avoid burnout. And you don't have to work 5 days a week if that's not what you want to do. Like as a hygienist, you can work 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days a week. It really depends on what you want. When I went to school at IUP, I feel like I stayed at school more. When I went to Penn Tech, I feel like I went home more. And the main reason for that is because I had a dog, which is Marshall. I got Marshall whenever I was in dental hygiene school, which is crazy. What a time to get a puppy. Okay, it was my first year of dental hygiene school, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was. And I got him and lived with people when I had him. I lived with two other people and I ended up taking him home. I forget when. I don't remember when. He was with me at school a lot, but I feel like it got to a point where I ended up taking him home because I didn't feel like it was right whenever I was gone at school all the time for him to be just chilling at the house. As a puppy, he mainly slept and stuff, but especially when he got a little bit older and in my apartment, like where I went to school, it was very old Victorian homes. And it was really warm in those. Like I lived on the third floor, like this next time, like after, like when he was like probably two. And I just felt like it wasn't fair. And he just like, I don't know. He was at the point where he was crate trained, but I just didn't feel right about it. So my dad was not working. I was like, okay, this would be perfect. So he would stay with him during the week. And then I'd go home on the weekends and hang out with Marshall. And then I would leave on Sunday night and then, or even Monday morning and then head to class. That was kind of what I did a lot while I was in hygiene school. So I feel like I didn't really get the experience of like college as much, to be honest, once I was in hygiene school. Like I got an education and a good one for sure. I went to an accredited hygiene school. So like Penn Tech is Penn State's tech school, by the way. But yeah, that's basically everything I have to say to you guys. But how I made it through school, what I would recommend is just like making sure that you have time to study and you're prioritizing that. And also have time to have fun and be a kid and like make college experiences, because you're only there once. And just no balance, like try to find balance and not overdo it in a way where you're like getting bad grades and like sleeping in and skipping class all the time. But like make sure that you're showing up and doing what you have to do. That's how I survived school. And like my studying really wasn't super excessive. I would just study for things I had going on that week and make sure that I felt good about them and I felt prepared, and a lot of flashcards. But college is a time for you to have fun and learn about yourself while also learning a shit ton. Like I learned so much. So that's everything that we're going to get into today. I hope I answered a lot of your questions. I know a lot of you guys have asked me questions, and I hope this is really helpful for a lot of people. But dental hygiene school, again, it's extremely, like, they basically act like it's the end of the world. And then once you get out in the real world, it really isn't as deep. And I would definitely recommend shadowing hygienist, like a couple, because you want to be able to see what it's like, and you want to be there for a day even. Like, is this boring to you? Is this something that you could see yourself doing? Are you interested in this? You know? So I will do episodes about temping, and I also do one basically for anyone who, like, it's all right if you change your mind after college and you got a degree. Like, it sucks and it kind of makes you feel bad about yourself, but like it's normal. And I'm gonna make an episode about that, because that one hits really close to home for me, and I think so many people could benefit from that. But I love you guys so much. I hope you have a great rest of your week. Right now I'm recording on a Thursday, trying to get ahead of my schedule. Like I'm best with the podcast, and my ideas are just flowing when I'm ahead of schedule and more organized. So trying to like have things recorded early, which we did this week, because tomorrow is Shelby's birthday. So I'm going to be hanging out with Shelby all day, doing stuff with her. And then we're going to have a dinner for her tomorrow night and then go out. So it's going to be a busy day. And then the rest of this weekend, I plan on chilling, and then we plan on going to church on Sunday. I'm just going to wait to make sure Shelby's on that, because I know it's her birthday weekend. So just in case, but she did tell me she'd come with me. So I think that's the plan. We're hitting up church for the first time Sunday. Whoop, whoop. Alrighty. I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. As always, if there's anything that you want me to talk about or whatever, let me know. Also, I am going to figure out the whole video thing. I swear. I promise. That's coming soon. Video podcast, because I know that so many of you want them, and I just know that it's needed for me to even make videos and like promote the podcast. I have to be doing this, but I will see you next Monday.